bronze of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shalt not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out the roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And we'll leave a portion there. And the verses I'd like to think about are from verse 5 through to verse 8. Now the prophet Jeremiah here is describing two types of man. The first he calls cursed, and the second blessed. Quite simple, he groups all men into two categories. We're all either blessed or cursed. And from what we remember from our study in the Beatitudes, blessed can also be translated as happy. And of course, the opposite of a blessing is a curse. And so in this portion, curse can also be translated as unhappy or miserable. So the prophet Jeremiah is saying the Lord categorizes people into these two categories. They're either blessed or they're cursed. They're either happy or they're unhappy, spiritually speaking. And in verse 5, Jeremiah describes the cursed man and the reason for his unhappiness. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So firstly, part of the reason why he's cursed is that he trusts in man and in his strength. All men trust in something or someone. We all trust and put our trust in something. We trust that as believers, our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even religion, I'd say other religions, put their faith in man. The first pillar of Islam requires faith and trust in Allah, as well as the Prophet Muhammad. Roman Catholicism requires trust in the Pope and in his words. And even unbelievers, evolutionists, they will trust in the scientist who teaches that we all evolved from some primordial soup. Some trust in governments or powers in control, and some trust in their own selves and in their own strength. In the United States, on every dollar note are the words, "In God we trust," which begs the question, do they really trust in God? Or are they trusting in Donald Trump and what he says? Or are they trusting in the might of their US military? But from what I hear, Donald Trump is a bit of a disappointment to many. And whatever people put their trust in to do with man, it is bound to fail and disappoint. We're even reading in the news at the moment, it seems to be everywhere, doesn't it? This sexual harassment scandal headlining all news reports. And many former heroes in man's eyes are being shown up for who they are. These people who men have set their hearts upon are disappointing. In Psalm 118, it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So Jeremiah here is saying, those that put their trust in man and his strength are unhappy people. And the second reason that Jeremiah says, the reason for man's unhappiness is in verse 5 also, the latter part, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's the second reason these people are unhappy, because their heart is not after God. They have no desires after God. As we know, the heart is the seat of someone's affections and desires, the heart of someone's being. But they'd rather have their football or girlfriends or job or ungodly friends than have God. They'd rather have their messy, sad, confused existence in many regards than have God in their lives. The natural man has no desire after God, and we can say that such were we once upon a time, until the Lord Jesus Christ showed us ourselves and showed us himself. But naturally speaking, none of us have an interest in God, and we were all once in this category, these cursed or unhappy people. Later on, a few verses after this, the chapter describes the heart of man as being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Interesting that word deceitful. You think you know your heart, and then it can throw you a curveball and something can arise that you don't expect, and you wonder where on earth that comes from. Interesting verse. And that's the unbeliever's state, is they have a deceitful heart following after their temporary worldly pleasures. And the prophet Jeremiah here says that that only results in unhappiness. There's a contrast, and that contrast is found in verse 7 of this chapter. Blessed is the man, not cursed, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So the blessed man is happy because his trust and hope is in the Lord. He's happy because he seeks to trust in the Lord with all his heart and to lean not unto his own understanding. In all his ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct his paths. We know that verse well. But Jeremiah goes on to paint two very vivid pictures of the two sets of people to further describe the characters of man. The first, the first picture he paints is what he calls a heath in the desert. And he paints this picture of a heath bush, which is a brown shrub. It's situated in a parched desert. It develops, or has developed, thorns to protect itself. And not that it needs any protection, because it's not really very desirable to look at or eat or approach. It's not really very interesting. It doesn't grow any leaves, or it doesn't grow any bloom. And the fruit that it grows is all pretty worthless. But this is the picture that Jeremiah is painting for us, of this dry, brown, fruitless, unprofitable bush. And the second picture that he paints is in verse 8. A tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So the second picture is of a beautiful green tree, and this tree situated by a clear running water stream or river. Its roots reach far into the soil, and it receives all the water it needs and nourishment from being on the river bank. It has a thick green foliage, and everything that it grows is profitable. It grows good and healthy fruit. But let's look at these two in the light of the two sets of people that Jeremiah is talking about. They're both contrasted, and the first contrast is that the heath is planted in the desert. The heath tree is planted in the desert, and the green tree is planted by rivers of water. So the heath tree, firstly, it has no real solid foundation. Despite that, its home is perfectly situated for it to thrive in. It's perfectly suited to thrive in a salty, dry, and malnutritious environment. And it's getting all the support it needs from the sand and the earth. It's in an environment which you wouldn't naturally put a plant. It's not healthy, it's not attractive, it's dry, it's salty, it's beaten by the sun, and a complete contrast to the green tree. This tree, however, is placed in solid ground. It's a picture of the Christian. His grounding, his trust, his hope is in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross to secure his salvation. So unlike the bush, which is in shallow ground, it's in sandy ground. It's got no solid foundation. It can blow over. It can easily disappear. It can easily be taken up by predators. Unlike that, the green tree is solidly founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, solidly founded on that healthy soil. Verse, none shall pluck them from his hand, springs to mind. Once in Christ, in him forever, we're safe and secure as this green tree is situated by the healthy spring. John on Sunday, didn't he mention that verse, happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. And this is a picture again of that tree, securely placed on that rock, Christ Jesus. And what a contrast that is to the unbeliever's security. If our hope is in ourselves and our good works or in anybody else, it will not last. Now, the second attribute of this heath bush is described as not being able to see when good cometh. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. Now, this is a little difficult to understand, but I believe it describes the way that doesn't even benefit from mist or rain or any kind of moisture, because it soon evaporates and it makes no real noticeable difference to its health. The rain comes, and because it's sandy soil, it will quickly get absorbed, but then as soon as the sun comes up, it's evaporated. Well, similarly, the worldling or the cursed person is blind to the good news. They might see it or even understand the concept, but it doesn't really interest them, and neither do they think it relevant to them. But contrast this to the green tree described. Shall not see when heat cometh, it says. Shall not see when heat cometh. This word see is better translated in other translations as fear. That's really the root of this word see, is fear. The green tree shall not fear when heat cometh. See, drought and scorching sun make no real difference to this tree, because its roots are deeply grounded and are fed by the water from the river. The believer who trusts in the Lord won't fear when troubles or trials come. That's a picture that's being shown here. As believers, the Lord may send us through troubles and trials and difficulties, this heat. But he will give us that peace and patience to endure the tribulation. It's all part of his sanctifying and refining process to give us this heat. And those of us who've been to see Ruth have witnessed her decline. And she seems to be enduring this heat, doesn't she, for a moment. The Lord has seen fit to grant her this trial of this illness. But we've witnessed a certain amount of peace and joy when she acknowledges that this is from the Lord. And I think she's been able to communicate to us that if it wasn't for her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her trust that he's working all things out for good, then she wouldn't be able to bear it. Her strength is in him. Doesn't mean that it's not painful, and this life truly is a veil of tears. We all have to go through trials, but we must remember the Lord is in control, and to remember that our strength is in him, and not to fear when heat cometh, for every bitter cup is sweet with him. Even the tree might show signs of scarring on the outside through the weathering or the ravages of the sun, but with inside it's still healthy and nutritious. That would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I was recently reading a book called Strict Baptists in the First World War, which is a good read if you're interested in Strict Baptists or First World War, or both. I'm interested in both. But I read a story of four boys who all died in the First World War, all from the age of 18 to 23, all perished months apart from each other. And I was reading a letter written by their father to a friend soon after. And he says that he has cause to bless the taking hand as well as the giving hand. And it makes you ask the question, does the believer have peace in trials such as this? He knew that they were in a better place and the Lord had taken them, and the Lord has taken them from him. And it was a sad trial to endure. I tell this story to Dad and I can see a little tear appearing in his eye. But the Lord gave this dear man strength to endure the trial of losing his four young boys, which is unknown to the believer. And a third contrast we see in these things is one is bare and the other is clothed with the beauty of foliage. We picture this brown bush, don't we, without any trees, a bit spiky and thorny, not really very attractive. And then the beautiful oak tree standing by the water. And of course, there are many unattractive Christians, and we're not always attracted to each other. But it's true, isn't it, that the work of the Spirit in us produces a certain amount of attractiveness. I think it's as we become more sanctified, we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We take on his attributes and the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not attempting to say I'm one of them, but there are many Christians I love who aren't necessarily outwardly attractive, but they have a love for the Lord and a desire to obey him and serve him and suffer for him and witness for him, which makes them attractive and makes me love them. And there's also something wonderfully beautiful and lovely about a suffering believer. I think if you said that to a non-Christian, they'd think you're stark raving bonkers. But there is something lovely about a suffering believer and the patience and peace and trust which they often exhibit. They're not full of malice or anger towards the Lord for putting them through this situation, but they're showing inner beauty in their peace and trust and love for their Saviour. And fourthly, the other contrast we see in this passage is that one is sterile and the other is fruitful. The brown heath bush doesn't really provide any profitable fruit, no fruit which is good or comely, but the green tree produces fruit. It says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, verse 8 at the end. Obviously, fruit is not all about good works, it's not about charity works or giving. I acknowledge that many unbelievers will do many good things. I'm not going to decry that. But unless they're done to the glory of God and for his name, then they don't really have any real profit. But the fruit which Christians should bear should be the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, as we know. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. All these things we exhibit in certain degree, and with the work of the Lord in us and the sanctifying work of the Spirit, hopefully they should take more part and place in our lives, and something we should strive as believers to exhibit. So to conclude then, I do confess that I often feel more like the heath bush than I do the green tree. Although all these are attributes of the believer, and I know where my foundation lies, and you all do, but if we truly know ourselves, then we often feel very unworthy of the love the Lord Jesus Christ shows to us. But we have to trust his word, and we have to trust that we are the apple of his eye. We have to trust that this applies to us. And instead of becoming depressed, we should be encouraged by this example, and to ensure that we're firmly trusting in Christ's work for us, and trust the Lord, and plead with him to keep us from sin, and to live for him, and to ensure we're firmly grounded in the rock Christ Jesus, and taking in his word. Well, I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to us, and encourage us to live for him. Before we come to prayer, we'll sing 762.